This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday. It's June 17th, 2022. Michael, Don, and Peter with you until 7 o'clock. Boy, we have a lot to talk about. Don is on the precipice of making harness racing history. He will have a big race later on, so he's coming to us live from the Meadowlands, right, Don?
I am live from the Meadowlands, that's right. And very excited to be on the air with you, because it literally just came down to this second that we're
really able
to work it all out. Yes.
That's beautiful.
And I'm ready.
Now, what are you dressed in right now? Because I can't see you.
I've got that the Cuban barber shirt that you love so much.
Oh, I love that shirt, yeah.
But then soon I'll be in silks and a helmet that hopefully fits my head.
Will we get to see you in the outfit on the air?
Well, that's the plan. I'm going to talk to Rachel. Rachel Ryan's running this whole thing from the Meadowlands, and she's been great getting me set up here. And I'll see if I can get in the silks before we get off the air. Do we have yes till 6:30 or just 6?
I think we have it till 6:30.
All right, that ups the odds tremendously.
Yeah.
Because batting practice shows the first day in the city, from what I'm told, Michael.
Look at you. You know TV.
It's kind of tough, right?
Yeah, because you have to do the setup. Yes, very good, Don.
On TV.
Don just doesn't let life just pass by. He grabs things out of life. You know what I'm talking about? Peter, you grabbed some things out of life, too. You grabbed another loss for your Celtics. Very sad.
Not good.
Today?
Don't be snotty.
I'm not snotty. The guy gets great tickets and doesn't even stay for the trophy presentation.
No, you didn't. Really?
No. I left.
Have you ever been to the trophy presentation?
No, and I had no interest in that being the first one.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my.
I'm being totally honest here. I texted Andrew during the game last night. We talked some this week about how the Celtics are not the Washington football team for me, and, you know, basketball's distant to football, blah, blah, blah. When I was there in the building last night to see a team that I've rooted for my whole life compete for a championship, to say it hit different would be just an absolute understatement of epic proportion. It was literally, guys, when they showed Robert Parrish on the screen, like the amount of like childhood love for this team that came rushing, coursing right through my veins. By the time the game ended, I thought ahead of time, if they lose, I'll enjoy it anyway. By the time it ended, I was so disgusted. Natalie wanted to stay, and I walked out with a minute left in the game.
That was wow, it. Gutless.
It's not gutless. By the way, Don, he would have ripped me either way. If I would have stayed, he'd say, wow, you stayed and celebrated the Warriors. Classic fraud.
No, you don't have to celebrate. You just have to take it in, and that's what teams that lose do. They take it in, and they use it as motivation for next year. Instead, well, ran out like a scared rabbit. It's not a good look.
That's what Scotty Bowman said when the Devils won the Cup in 95. All the Red Wings were going to leave the ice. He said, stay there. I want you to see this.
Yeah.
This is where you want to get. I want you to watch this ceremony. And 2 years later, they won it, you know, back to back. Ended up winning 3 in a very short period of time.
I don't know if that applies to fans, though.
No, but it does for fans, because you know what? You got a checklist in life as a fan.
Okay.
And I have yet to be in the building when they've been awarded a World Series trophy. But I've been there for the Super Bowl. I was on the field when the Giants won the championship game against Minnesota for the presentation of the NFC Championship trophy. I've been on the ice for the Stanley Cup presentation. I've been on the court for the NBA award when the Lakers swept the series against the Nets. I want to check those things off my list. And if I'm in the building and the trophy is there, Peter, to walk out is disrespectful to the sport. But more importantly, it's disrespectful to yourself.
Oh,
you're going to regret
that.
You're going to regret it. When you have kids and they're watching whatever team win the NBA, and they're going to go, Daddy, were you ever in the building for that? No, I left because my team lost.
Right, right. Little Luigi's going to say, Daddy, did you ever go to an NBA final?
Luigi
yes,
Rosenberg.
I did. Luigi Rosenberg. And you're going to say, no, I did not stay, Luigi.
Right.
Why not, Dad? Because I'm gutless. Oh,
and
that's unfortunate to hear about your dad.
Luigi and his support dog are going to cry and leave the room.
And you know what? That's a very good line. And also, I hope I get some support today, because like I get crushed by a lot of people. But I hope right now there are people listening saying, Rosenberg, I'd do exactly what you did. I'm not staying in my building to watch the team that just destroyed us celebrate on the parquet.
Now,
I'm
why
good.
Were you so upset, Peter? Because you didn't like the performance of your team? You were disappointed in how the Celtics played?
Yeah, because you don't have any problem with Curry or the Warriors,
well, no,
do you?
Do you guys remember back in the day I used to give Curry a hard time for thinking he was too cute? You don't remember that?
Right.
With the mouthpiece.
I was upset that he chewed on his mouthpiece.
I was too. I found the whole thing to just be – I found the whole act to be like overly
tiring.
Cute and tiring.
Yeah.
Nozzle.
And then I grew to just – he's so good that I accept everything. And obviously he's a good person. It's not like anyone says anything bad about Steph Curry. So I'm never going to actually attack the man. But when you're rooting against Steph, Clay, and Draymond, they are easy to hate, like in that moment. They're smug. They're amazing. There's a nerdiness, almost like a Duke-like factor to Clay Thompson. Like, there's a certain thing about that team when you're rooting against them. And there was a guy in front of me. There was a Warriors fan in front of me who was being so aggressively so aggressively talking trash to Celtics fans. I'm surprised he made it out alive if he did. It was crazy how much he was asking for it. I wouldn't have even felt bad at that point. Now you're just being obnoxious, waving goodbye to people in their face. It was a lot. So between all of it and the fact that the performance was bad, I mean, I'm sorry, guys. Steph was great last night. There's no denying that. But they left the door open for the Celtics many times. Jason Tatum didn't show up last night. I mean, I think to me that's unfortunately the biggest takeaway you have from the NBA Finals is that maybe Jason Tatum has a great future as the leader of this team, and I hope he does, and I assume he will. But, guys, this is going to be a tough moment he has to overcome. That was a bad performance last night.
Well, but the one thing I would caution, you don't write off Jason Tatum because of this Finals, because it's happened in the past where
sure.
great players were said to be not able to do it. Michael Jordan was not able to do it. And then, you know what, sometimes you have to you have to cross those barriers. You have to work through it. And now he knows what this is like. Mike Breen said it yesterday, or it was the day before. He said, after they won game one, they said, well, you don't need experience. Well, yeah, but they'd never played a game two or a game three. And as the special nature of a finals unravels, you've got to be able to handle it. And maybe he wasn't. I would buy stock in Jason Tatum. I have no problem with that player.
I would, too. But I'm just telling you also, while I would buy stock, and I'm not out on Jason Tatum, there's no way to not be disappointed. Like, particularly last night, what upset me was, it's not that he was terrible. In fact, he started out really, really good. What bothered me is, when it was all said and done, it just didn't feel like he was being aggressive. He finished 6 for 18. Okay, Jaylen Brown took 23 shots. He was 12 of 23, 34 points. By the way, if anything makes you feel good about the series, it's how good Jaylen Brown's capable of being. But the fact of the matter is, this team is built. Jason Tatum was supposed to take 25, 30 shots last night. That was what his role was, and either he wasn't able to do it because they were too good, and to your point, Michael, he doesn't have the experience to know how to survive that in the finals, or he didn't want it in this moment. He didn't want the pressure on his back, and that's worrisome. But you got to give credit where credit is due. At some point with a couple of minutes left, I just soaked it in and just watched Steph Curry. Because, by the way, shout out to the deputy commissioner, Mark Tatum, in the NBA. My seats were amazing. It was truly the best sporting experience of my life. I was floating. I could not. I sat on the aisle. So, Don, I was completely able to stand up in any second. I was, like, able to pace, practically. It was a fantastic viewing experience. It just ended up feeling, I just need to soak in this moment. I need to watch Steph Curry. Because, guys, we are never going to see Steph Curry again. You really can't overstate how special that guy is.
No, he's special. I hate the fact that people like me, I hate to say this, but I do. I hate the way what we do is going. Well, he's got to win an MVP in order to move into, he's got to validate for his legacy. I mean, we make stuff up.
I know.
I mean, it's tiring. It really is. I don't want to do stuff like that. And this seems to the hot take nonsense where you set these mountains for people. It's so awful, But that's what our business is now.
And guess what? He did it anyway.
Some outrageous challenge that we should put to an athlete. That's why athletes hate the media. Hate him.
But it's also a compliment, Michael, because it's not just enough to win. there's got to be even more. In the NBA and a quarterback of the NFL are the only two areas where I think a championship's not enough. You also got to take home the MVP. I'm not saying for a football player, but for a quarterback. Because if we're rating quarterbacks and the Super Bowls are even, you're going to go with the guy that's got more Super Bowl MVPs because they control things. And it's really hard to be a great player in the NBA, win a championship, and not be the most valuable player. So I just think it's because of the sport. All these guys have rings. All the top 10 guys that we're thinking, can he crack the list, have all won championships, have all won MVPs. So it's almost a compliment to just really break down exactly how great these players are. And I think that's why they threw out the MVP, because that's just another piece to the puzzle to figure out who belongs and who doesn't.
And remember, though, you know, the one that you could argue with is Iguodala, but the other times right. It was Durant. I mean, Durant is ahead of him in best players in the NBA. So, you know, he deserved to win those MVPs. This time it was Steph's team.
But the thing is, he checks every box, right? Number one, he changed the game. Number two, he's won championships. He's won MVPs. And I think this championship is special because he's done it in like three different eras, right? There was before KD, during KD, and now after KD. So, and that tells me something about a player that can bring in a dominant force like KD, allow him to be the star and not complain, not have any problems. Kind of what Dwayne Wade did in Miami. And then be able to go out and win it after him, when everybody thought that KD would be the one that would win the ring before them. And also stick around through the mini rebuild, not complaining, not trying an exit strategy. Live with those couple of years of being out of it and then be part of it again.
Not only out of it, Don, they had the worst record in the right. NBA the last 2 years.
And what happens in sports when that happens, Michael?
They blow it
guys
up.
Look for ways to get out. I don't want to be a part of this. And there was no guarantee that once they all got healthy that it would happen this quickly. Everybody thought Phoenix was still going to be good. Utah's had great regular seasons. Denver. And they just picked up where they left off.
By the way, you know, one thing that we're not saying a lot of, Peter, as well, I think Udoka is considered a really bright basketball guy. He was new. Steve Kerr's done this. Steve Kerr's won 9 championships as a player and a coach. He knows how to do this. And his move of taking Draymond Green out of that game, I think that's the MVP move of the entire series. That took a lot of stones to do that.
And I think Kerr won that matchup. And look how Draymond responded.
Right.
It was perfect coaching. Listen, get close to your radio, as the great Michael K would say.
Oh, wow.
Steph Curry is an absolute phenom of a level that's really hard to comprehend. I would go as far as saying, when you think about what he's done, he's 34, guys. He wasn't like a crafty veteran in this series who's still good. You know, he's 34 years old. He's coming off a major injury. He's still pretty damn good. He was by far the best player on planet Earth. No one this season played better than Steph Curry did in the last series. At 34 years old, coming off an injury, I'll go this far. With what he's proven, when you think about his size, the way he's changed the game, the longevity, the same team the entire time, dropping back down to the worst team in the league, then all the way back here. When you add it all up, guys, we talk about where Steph Curry, could he crack the top 10? I wouldn't be mad if you had him as high as 7. I could not actually fight you if you had him above Bird, Duncan, Robertson, and Kobe. I could not fight you. I'm not saying it's that. But if you're telling me you couldn't make an argument that Steph is 7, he is insane. Like, I thought Allen Iverson was the best pound-for-pound player I'd ever seen. A guy who's barely 6 feet, 175 pounds, dripping wet. Guys, Steph Curry crushes AI. Crushes. He's sick. And when you watch him in person, it's so beautifully – you can't say it's effortless because he never stops running. Mm. But it's poetry to watch.
And also think about where he came from. He couldn't get an offer from his father's alma mater. They didn't want him. He had to go to Davidson.
Yeah.
And here he is. We're talking about whether he's in the top 10 all-time in the NBA. It's quite a story.
And as far as I know, we live in the world of kill the loser. But what Boston accomplished, we can get on Tatum and how they had control of this series and let it slip through their fingers. Look at what they accomplished. At the beginning of the season, did anybody have Boston here? And look at they beat the Nets. They beat the defending champion Bucks. They beat a really good Heat team. And then they go to game six against a team that, you know, is a forever team. So, Peter, I know you're frustrated. It was a tough night last night. But at some point, you're going to look back at the Celtics run, and it might be the beginning of something really special here.
Well,
you got to learn to lose. But I tell you what, they accomplished a lot, not just in the regular season, but in the postseason.
No, you're 100% right. And when you think about the fact that this team was on the verge of breaking up when Marcus Smart called that players-only meeting, and they went from being on the verge of blowing it up to competing for a championship. And if they'd won this series, guys, we would be talking about the Celtics beating Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami, and Golden State as one of the greatest runs ever to a title. So, they came up short. I am disappointed, but I agree, Don. Listen, is anyone questioning the Celtics being near the top of the Eastern Conference next year? I don't think so.
And now, if you're a Knicks fan and you have dreams of one day getting there, just think about the teams you have to jump.
Yeah.
The Nets are going to get better. This team, Celtics, are not getting worse. Toronto's getting better. Sixers, I believe, will be better. The Bucks are still great. Those are teams you have to jump over, and I'm leaving some out, I'm sure. Remember when the West was so much better, and they said, well, they should just like have the teams with the best records play because the Eastern Conference is so bad. It's not that bad. I think it's deeper than the West now. It is deeper than the West. And we're going to talk to Tim Legler at 3:30. We'll get his take exactly where Steph fits in the pantheon of all-time greats. Let me shift real quickly to Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And you know, I've been doing this a long time, doing the Yankees, 31 years broadcasting. And this team is about as fun to broadcast as any of them. And I love the 98 team. But this team just does things, you know, they do things in a dramatic fashion, and they just swept the Rays. But the thing that stood out about last night's game to me, everybody, was they did it with their bottom rung pitchers. Severino goes on the COVID IL. Mm-hmm. You have Schmidt pitch three innings. Then they call up Ryan Weber, who they signed in the middle of spring training for a moment like this, and he's lights out. He gave up one run, a home run to Tatis. And then they bring in Marinaccio. So the only top-level leverage guy that you used was Michael King. And he ended up getting the win on the Rizzo home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. And, you know, if you're sitting there at the stadium and you're watching the game on yes, did anybody have a doubt that they were going to win that game in the bottom of the ninth inning? It just had that kind of feel, everybody. And I'm not being cocky about it, but they've won 7 in a row. They've won 14 straight at home, the longest home winning streak since 1961. They've won 14 of their last 15 games. They have a 10-game lead over the Blue Jays. I'm in Toronto right now. And if the Blue Jays really want to make a dent, Don, they got to sweep the Yankees this weekend. What's the likelihood of that happening? This is shaping up to be a really special, magical season.
And listen, and where you were working it, and I was in the business in 98. It was 98 was, I shouldn't say it was supposed to happen. But, you know, they had gone to the playoffs the year before, won the championship the year before that. Now, this has been a consistent playoff team, but they haven't been to the World Series since the last time they won it. And this fan base is kind of starved, and maybe appreciate this, you hope, a little more because of how unexpected it is. I don't want to get on the fans, Michael, because I think some of them weren't just, like, spoiled brats, but really looked at this team and said, I don't like this team. I don't like the way it's built. I don't think they're going to be as good as the Blue Jays. People in this business had the Blue Jays being this.
Right.
Like the Blue Jays were supposed to be the team to be 31 games above 500 and running away with the division, and the Yankees were supposed to be settling for the scraps. And now it's the Yankees that have everybody in their rearview mirror. I mean, the Rays right now, they've got problems. And the Yankees
the Rays are not that good.
I think
the Red Sox might be better than the Rays.
And the Rays
are hurt. But right now, the Rays are not a great team.
But the Blue Jays are still double digits back.
Yeah.
And
even
they
sweep, Don, they're 7 out.
What is it?
Even if they sweep the Yankees this weekend, they're 7
out. Yeah, they're 10 out. They'd still be 7 out. And also, Michael, time's running out. They played a ton of games already.
Yep.
So after these three, how many games have they played against the Yankees?
I think they've played 7, so this would be 10. They'd have 9 more.
So you'd only have 3 more series left. You'd only have 9 left. So it's not like you've got a ton of games left with them. Listen, they are as advertised, as what Brian Cashman thought. Now, we'll see what happens in the postseason, but there is nothing to complain about. This team is completely special, doing it in different ways, and it shows every single night.
I will give you all a little inside info, but there's travel nightmares in the Northeast, and it even affected – the Yankees last night. So the game was 2 hours and 35 minutes long, Don.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, get into the hotel in Toronto, maybe 1 or 2 or maybe 12:30 if everything. Got into bed at 4:30. 4:30. Everybody is absolutely exhausted.
Holy crap.
So we'll see how they rise to the occasion because, I mean, you can't complain. They get paid a lot of money, but they got in to the hotel and got into their beds at 4:30 in the morning. I know I did. I saw Aaron Judge in the elevator today, and I said, I don't know how you guys are going to play today. I said, I got to talk, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. And he laughed. He said, well, no, it's part of the gig, and it is. Yeah. And, you know, they'll solve it, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And very quickly, you watch the Brewers, and they don't play really smart baseball at all. They ran themselves into a loss yesterday. So give the Mets credit. You have to be a little afraid with McGill again going down. Yeah. But they find ways, Don. They find ways, and they got another victory, and they won another series. And so they gained a half game on the Braves, who were dormant yesterday. They didn't play.
Think of the gut punch, you know, that third inning, where you've got a 1-0 lead, and all of a sudden you're down 3-1, and your starting pitcher's out again, McGill. You give up another run. It's 4-1. But they fight back, they tie the game, and they find a way to win it in very unconventional fashion where, like, why didn't Marte break? But then they go for the double play, and then it worked out perfectly because then they wouldn't have gone for the double play had he broke. So it really worked out, the base running, timely hitting again, and it was taking 2 out of 3 for Milwaukee. That's what you're supposed to do, and now hopefully the Mets can beat up on the Marlins here if they can. They've got them, I think, 7 of the next 10 games. And see what they can do. And the Braves had a night off, so the Mets gained a half game. And get to work as you figure, and this it's already underway. I haven't seen what the score is. Braves taking on the Cubs today at Wrigley.
Now, what do you think that's going to be? No, the Braves win. 0-0 in the fourth right now. That's Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. We're giving out tickets to the Beach Bash, VIP access. Take a couple of phone calls because we have a guest at 3:30, the Great Legs, so we'll do that. Let's start off with Chris in Lodi. Chris.
How's it going, guys? Thank you so much for taking my call. Huge fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
Guys, I have to say, I 100% agree with Peter. If my team lost that game, I couldn't get out of that building fast enough. If you sit and watch the Warriors win and you're a Celtics fan, 100% fraud. I 100% agree with him. I've been offered tickets to the last 3 Super Bowls, and I've said if my team's not in it, and they're the Tennessee Titans, they may never be in it, then I'm not going unless they're there. And if they lose, I literally couldn't fly out of that building fast enough. Peter, you're 100%
Thank
right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A lot of support for Peter. Let's go to Matt in Long Island. Matty.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Don, I'm sorry, but I got to agree with Pete also. And I think you might have a little bit of a fraud answer on this one, too. Because you're telling me that you would sit through a World Series championship trophy being handed out when you watch the Mets lose to the Yankees if they have another Subway Series this year?
Well, no, not
the
Yankees.
If that happens as a Mets fan, you'll stay and watch the Yankees
Not the
celebrate?
Yankees. How many times do I have to answer the question? Not the Yankees. He's got no hatred for the Warriors. I couldn't sit there if a team that I hated won. No, I agree, but I don't think Peter hates the Warriors.
Now, no,
so
but in the moment,
I do. If it's Yankee, if you're a Yankee fan, it's the Mets. Mets, if it's the Yankees, if you know, if you happen to be got free tickets to Game 7 of the World Series and the Red Sox won, and you're a Yankee fan, no, you walk right out of the building. But Peter's got no hatred for the Warriors. He just, in the same breath, said that he was captivated by Curry's play.
Well, because I'm not stupid.
No, I know you're not stupid, so you're captivated by his play, but you're not going to sit here and see him be handed the O'Brien trophy? Like, what's the difference? Right, Pete, Michael? I mean, if you hate the fact the Warriors are winning, then why are you being captivated by his play? If you're captivated by his play, why wouldn't you hang around and see him get the trophy?
If it was the Celtics-Lakers and the Lakers won, and by the way, only 2 teams have won on the floor of the Garden, the Lakers in 85 and yesterday, I wouldn't stay for the Lakers, but that's kind of history that you saw yesterday. But listen, I also understand his take. But I think he was just exhausted and wanted to go home and get into that small bed with Natalie. That's what he wanted.
Well, listen, hold on. We do have to factor.
There you go. There's the.
We had to figure out how to get back from TD Garden. We ended up walking back to the hotel about 20 minutes. I had a morning show to do. I've been dealing with a sore throat and hoarseness for 3 days. So if it would be one thing if my team had won the championship. Obviously, you suck it up and you stay up till 1:30 in the morning being there. But the idea of not getting out of that building till 12:45 at night to watch another team celebrate, I'm good.
And baseball and basketball have to do a better job with their presentations. Like the NHL, I think the NFL, like they got to do a bit of, I think it's got to be bigger.
What do you mean?
Well, like how with the NFL, they'll have like when Joe Namath was walking the 50th anniversary trophy up, like do something special.
Let's take a brief time out.
Remember, for the longest time, it was like they all just did it inside the room. At least they're doing it with people able to watch it.
Yeah, but unless it's a game seven, the NFL has an advantage over everybody because they know that at the end of that game, there's going to be a trophy presentation. The NBA didn't know yesterday. Unless there's a game seven, you don't know. But some things really bothered Don. Anyway, when we come back, Tim Legler will put this all into perspective, where Steph stands all time and why the Celtics lost this series. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you giving away Beach Bash VIP access throughout the show right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Tim Legler, Steph wins the MVP. Is he a top 10 player?
I started just spitballing the other day. I was thinking about this, and I pretty quickly, you're up in, you're like 7-8, like automatics. Now you got like a serious debate here with like maybe 9, 10 through like 15. He's in the category, he's in the discussion. I do not think it's definitive that you would put him there. This was the crown jewel of his career to this point, getting this team across the finish line, because this is unprecedented what they just did from this standpoint. Normally you don't have that kind of a run for 5 years, have it break up, completely remake your supporting cast, and then get another chance to start a run. And I think that's what we're seeing here. This isn't a one-off.
The Michael K. Show.
They're going to win another championship. They may win more than that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, outstanding first hour. Hope you enjoyed it. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is live in New Jersey. Visit superbook.com for all the latest odds and promotions. Have a problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so I've got the Yankee lineup right here in my grubby hands. So it's time to play rest roulette.
I got it.
And tonight's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Don, do you want to take a go at this?
Well, there's a certain funk, if you will, like in the air when it's a Hicks night.
Okay,
I'm feeling that Hicks is going to rest tonight.
Are you sure the funk is not from the stables where you're at the Meadowlands?
I'm not close to the stables.
All right.
No, it's nice here. We're not far from the FanDuel where we did the broadcast when Porzingis got traded. Remember?
I remember
Stone's throw.
Big turning point for the show, if you remember.
Here we go. Turn back.
Here is the Yankee starting lineup tonight against the Blue Jays, live from Toronto. Center fielder is Aaron Judge leading off. Batting second, the DH, Josh Donaldson. Hitting third, the first baseman, and one of the heroes last night, Anthony Rizzo, drove in both runs. Batting cleanup, the right fielder is Giancarlo Stanton. Batting fifth, the third baseman, DJ LeMahieu. Gleyber Torres at second base will bat sixth. Batting seventh, the left fielder, Joey Gallo. Batting eighth and playing shortstop, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And batting ninth, the catcher, Kyle Higashioka, with Jordan Montgomery on the mound. So Don's right again. It's the Hicks rest day.
Yeah!
Well, he got booed a lot at the stadium yesterday.
Who, Don?
I mean, the team is is running away with it, and they want perfection. I mean, they will not let Hicks or Gallo up. They just won't. That's tonight's Yankee starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show, the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees.
They've been better. Hicks has been better.
Yeah, true.
He won a game for them recently in Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Would you guys like to guess how many people watched last night's Game 6?
I just looked.
In New York or in the world?
In the world.
13 million.
Well, that was Game 5. Game 6 was 13.99. It's a little low. I thought it would be higher than that.
Well, what's interesting,
in 2019, Game 6 was watched by 18.3 million.
It's interesting how all the numbers, football excluded, have not bounced back pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to sound really morbid, but you know, we did lose a lot of people in this country. I don't know if it affected the numbers to that point, but when you think of jobs lost, lives devastated in some way, shape, or form, is it did that many people just didn't come back, turned off by sports or circumstances, moved them away? Because it's pretty dramatic that, like, we're talking, like, all sports, again, the exception of football.
But that doesn't down that kill significantly. That? It kills that theory, though. So that they're there to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because, well, the one thing that football has is that you know. The dates are set. You know. You know who's, you know when your team is playing. It's once a week. You don't have to commit that much to it. You know, and the NBA, the NFL's not playing their Super Bowl on a Thursday night. You know, so I think that's why the other sports get dragged in. Football finds the perfect moments to get people to gather. But the other sports that don't have that perfect set time when you know football's always almost a game seven, it seems like. They've always got the ability to capture that moment where NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball are kind of slaves to the schedule. You don't know when the World Series is going to start or how many games it's going to go and where the games are going to be. That's an advantage the NFL has.
Yeah, Peter is, I hate to say, he's such a fraud.
Oh, no.
Such a fraud. So some sycophant of Peter writes, Kay thinks it's old to use, and I'm paraphrasing now, to use the big head joke because it's been done, but he laughs all the time whenever Rick DiPietro talks about how hairy he is.
I thought it was a legitimately, literally salient point.
And here's why it's not, okay? Here's why it's not, my friend. Because you do have hairy, apish arms. I do not have a big head. So you continue to do this false narrative to get cheap laughs. Rick's getting legitimate laughs on something that's true.
Okay,
it looks like you're wearing a black sweater.
So here's the thing. First of all, you have a gigantic head. Second of all, even if you didn't, Don, since when does that matter when it comes to making jokes?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Why is one funnier because it's based in more reality? That's not what makes a joke funny.
And long is still big.
Right.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So real quick, by your logic, someone having a size 19 shoe, not big. It would be big if they had a really wide shoe.
When have you ever heard somebody say, boy, you have long feet?
No, you have big feet.
Yeah, you have big feet.
But that's not – there's no such thing as if you have a size 16 foot, you have a big foot.
Yeah. Right.
So length is big in
but
foot.
But there's no – yeah, but you're taking the fun out of jokes. There's no way somebody could be so fat their belt's the equator.
Chris Carlin has a pumpkin head compared to mine.
I have a size 8 head.
Chris Carlin's head. Right. That's a big head. I have a long head. I'm done with it.
But a long
I'm done
head.
With it. And I'm telling you, if you make another big head joke, it might be time for me to go.
Mom,
but hold on.
Think of one quick, Peter.
Yeah, hold on. Why the long face? No, why? Why is it inherently not funny? I don't get it. Like, you're admitting you have an unusually long head, and you're playing a semantics game by saying that's not big.
Yeah,
and
that's
even
true.
If it's and fine, you could have a pinhead. You could look like Paul Rubin, okay? And it still wouldn't change the fact that if a joke's funny, it's funny. Comparing your head to the size of Bob's Big Boy that stands outside the restaurant is funny.
You keep it up.
Long is still big. Or that sounded like a
big threat. A threat.
I want to know what the or what is.
Don't worry about it. You know what? You'll live it. Then you'll find out. I don't have to articulate threats. I have to exercise them.
You going to lay him out at the beach bash?
That would be something.
If I even show up.
Dear God, dear Triad, it was so fabulous to drop you.
So yesterday, a very cryptic message delivered by Buck Showalter about Eduardo Escobar. What was the exact wording, Andrew?
I think he referred to it as a non-workplace event.
Yeah. And then he talked about HIPAA laws, and left it at that. So, wow, what's wrong? Well, now he's available to play tonight. And Disha Thosar of the Daily News covers the Mets said, Escobar looked a little off to some of his teammates before yesterday's game. He was having issues with his vision, which was causing some dizziness, and he was taken to the hospital. So he is available off the bench. Showalter says he expects Escobar to be back in the lineup tomorrow, starting at third base. I just don't understand why so cryptic. You got so many people so nervous.
Yeah,
weird.
But if you can't tell people what it is, and you want to let them know it wasn't anything that happened during a game or was a non-baseball event, how do you not sound cryptic?
But, I mean, the whole non-baseball event, I mean, wow. Hey, he's not feeling great, and we're checking things out. I don't know. So this is the stuff about Barkley that I wanted to talk
about.
Yeah,
honoring the tease.
He was on with Pat McAfee today. And, you know, they were talking about the LIV Golf Tournament and how people are criticizing Mickelson and the other players for taking all that money. Charles Barkley said on the air he would literally kill a relative for $150 million.
Don, this seems like Michael's in his particular zone today. taking everything literally.
No, because Pat McAfee said, what are you talking? He said, I don't even know what to say after that. And Barkley said, I would actually kill a relative that I really like for $150 million. He said, so I have no problem with them doing what they did.
I think he's just trying to make a point.
Yeah, I don't know why you're taking this so literally. It's totally, he's joking. I mean, he does feel that, but what he is saying is that he's not worrying about the place where the money's coming from. He's taking $150 million. So if you want to place a moral judgment on that, that's totally fine. He is clearly saying, I would take money from the Saudis or whoever. Yeah. But as far as the killing his family, Michael, he's laughing through the entire thing. He's not serious.
Really? You sure?
I no.
You're that close with Barkley?
I don't even know Chuck.
This is.
And then you can't call him Chuck, frankly.
Yeah, but this is.
By the way, Brandon Tierney out sick. They say Mark Melusis is now in both races.
Yeah, Mark won the last time, and he's also a fan
of harness racing.
Right.
Listen,
so have at it.
When it comes to harness racing,
I'm good with my one.
When it comes to harness racing and Mark Melusis, throw the record books out. Anything can happen.
Well, now I want to beat him.
Why is he so angry about Mark
Melusis? He'll be in my race, obviously. He's got to replace Brandon, so it's
why
me.
Why do you dislike Mark Melusis?
No, I love him.
You sure? It doesn't sound like it.
Well, he's got to be in both races, really.
Well, maybe they need a certain amount in each race.
I guess. But it's the super fan that gets to do it. And I can't do it because I'm already in the race that Brandon is out. And plus, they need to move me to the second race so it doesn't interfere with the show, Michael. Can't leave early.
Right. More information about the Mets. Tyler McGill underwent an MRI this morning, has been diagnosed with a right shoulder strain. And the immediate plan is for him to be shut down from throwing and reevaluated in 4 weeks.
Well,
that's not good.
Laura Albanese tweet.
What did she say? Laura's great, by the way.
Buck said that if McGill is shut down for 29 days and starts throwing then, it'll be a net positive.
Mm.
So what that tells me is that's the best case scenario.
Mm. Yeah, they need those two great pitchers back soon. There's just so much you could do. I mean, depth only goes so far. When depth starts getting hurt, then what's after depth? Very deep, I know.
Deep depth.
Speaking of the Mets, I have their starting lineup right here, brought to you by Nissan. Brandon Nimmo starts in center field and leads off. Batting second, the right fielder, Starling Marte. Francisco Lindor at shortstop hits third. Cleaning up first baseman, Pete Alonso. Future All-Star Jeff McNeil is at second base, batting fifth. Batting sixth, the left fielder Mark Canna with a big home run yesterday. Luis Guillorme at third base will bat seventh. Batting eighth, the DH J.D. Davis. And Tomas Nito will catch and bat ninth with Cookie Carlos Carrasco on the mound. And that's today's Mets starting lineup facing Miami, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and Nissan USA.com.
Let's give me my little cookie.
Let's go to the phones. Okay. Let's go to Janice in Syracuse. Jan.
Hi, Janice.
Yeah, hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you. Good. I just wanted to make a comment, and I also wanted to say hi to Peter and to Don. But it's extremely obvious to me, I'm just making a comment, that Don is extremely jealous of the Yankees. And
wow.
How well they're doing, and I'm sure that every night when he watches or listens, that he's praying that they lose. I'm every sorry, night. Don. I love every you. Night. I think you're great. But that's the feeling I have because you're such a Mets fan that you just keep looking for the fact that the Yankees are going to lose.
Well, give me an
and
example.
That's all I'm going to say.
No,
and you
I need
can
you to
take
say
it from
more.
There. Have
example.
A great day, all three of
no,
you.
No, no, no.
Wow.
Give me an example.
She just hung up, Don.
Gutless.
She's made a point.
Oh, what a gutless puke of a woman. Seriously. Just yeah. You make this allegation like I care, right? Like it affects my day. And then you call up
she
and,
banged
then,
not,
the, and you say this outlandish thing and don't even cite an example. Just hurry, scurry away like a squirrel and hang up the phone.
Wow.
Gutless.
I cannot believe she banged on you. That is, Michael, that was the surprising part.
Peter, I wish I had an example. Other than I just happen to be a Met fan and she just assumes Met fans are jealous of the Yankees.
That, well, she was.
And, but if she gave examples, it'd be a nice fodder back and forth. And then maybe you got me.
Yeah, but
Don, oh, you came up with it. No, she scurried away and ran. That means you lose. You forfeited.
But, Don.
That's a shame.
Sports talk yo-yos don't ever have an example. All I get is tweets from everybody saying how I'm a disgrace to the medium known as sports talk radio.
Also, you see my burner accounts.
I embarrass myself. I embarrass myself every time I open my mouth. And whenever I say, please, tell me the last time I said something that was so – they never have anything.
But there's somebody
you
on the
never,
phone.
You talk about the Yankees in an objective way every day. And, like, let's lift the skirt up all the way. We know this. We talk a lot of Yankees on the show. We talk a lot of Mets, too, and everyone knows you're a huge Met fan. But the show's on, yes. We have the voice of the Yankees on the show. We talk a lot of Yankees. You do it with bells on every single day. I've never heard you show any bit of jealousy towards the Yankees. Now, is everyone who doesn't root for the Yankees jealous on some level? Sure.
Yeah, of course.
They're the most dominant team in the history of sports. But Don doesn't show that on a daily basis at all.
So, yeah, but I'd like to introduce her to all the Met fans that think that my head's up Michael's butt and that all I do is smooch the Yankees because I'm on yes. So where does the truth lie, guys? Where does the truth lie? I've got Janice who says that I'm jealous of the Yankees, and I have Met fans who think that I'm too much. I'm a fake Met fan because I praise the Yankees so much and that Michael owns me.
Like because Andrew, do you know Janice?
I'm so scared of my job. And then meanwhile, Michael gets upset because I disagree with him so much. So where is the truth?
I don't get upset when you disagree with me.
No, well, I mean, you're not happy about it.
No, I'm not happy when you disagree right through a break. That's when I'm not happy. You can disagree with me all you want.
But
respect
the
clock.
We do
disagree. That's my credo.
We do argue. In the 20 years we've argued, about the Yankees.
Andrew, do you know Janice from Syracuse? It's a very small town. Do you know her?
It's a city. And no, I don't know her. I've never met her. Never heard of her.
That's almost like what you did, Peter, about the soccer. It's right along. It's the same family. Well, it's a city.
By the way, I just realized how terrible the people are at Yes that we work with.
Why?
I just nearly choked on my tea. You know, right. I have this sore throat, so I've been sipping tea. And I just nearly choked on it. It went down the wrong pipe. I just spit it all over my laptop.
Right.
And I went back and watched it on Yes as it happened. The second it happened, they went to a single shot of me. They wanted to capture me dying.
That's good.
These are terrible people.
Let's go to Ty in Tuscaloosa. Ty.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good, Ty. What's up?
Good. I just first time caller, long time listener. I really appreciate everything you guys do, and big fans of the show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I know we're talking about the Yankees again, whoop-de-doo. What would the Aaron Judge contract situation be like? Let's say the Yankees win the World Series, and it all goes well to end the season. Do you think there's any way on earth that the Steinbrenners just decide to throw everything and everything at Judge and just say, screw it, we got the World Series that we were looking for this team, now let's lock up Judge so we have our guy? Do you think there's any situation where they do that?
I mean, what are you saying, be irresponsible and give him like $50 million a year? No, I don't think that situation exists. I think that they will come up greatly on the offer that they gave him. They're going to have to because now there are 29 other teams bidding. But, I mean, Have you watched the Yankees? They're not irresponsible about this stuff. They're going to draw a line in the sand. They did it to Derek Jeter, one of the greatest players of all time. And Jeter ended up blinking and taking what they offered him, and they did it to Robinson Cano, and Cano left. So they're going to establish what they think is a fair price, and they are not just going to do whatever they have to do to keep him. I'm sure that they're desperate to keep him. But if there's one crazy owner, like the San Francisco Giants said, we're going to give you 10 years at $450 million, I think the Yankees say goodbye. Don't you agree, Don?
100%. I'm not even sure they'd go up as much as you think they would go up. They thought the offer was fair. And a great year that they benefit from is not going to make them go, okay, we were just kidding. Here's 10 million, here's 10 years, or even 9 years, or even 8 years. It might just come up with a little bit more of an annual value. I'm not sure they'd even come off the seven.
I think they would go to eight. I think they would push it and say, okay, since we think he's worth seven and he has value to us because he's a homegrown Yankee and he's the face of the franchise, I think they might go to eight. They will not go to 10. And I'm not sure they'll go to eight. I think they would. That's just my gut.
Yeah, because if you went club option, that's nothing.
No, right? That's not a real contract. Now, if it's a player option, that's a different story.
Yeah, but a player option, you might just give them the eight.
Right.
You know, but I think it was a fair offer. And the idea that they wouldn't want to see him do well, I think everybody knew when he was healthy that he would do well. But they've got a plan, and you don't think these things in a vacuum, Michael. You start giving money like that, then what happens if Nestor Cortez turns out to be the next great pitcher in this organization's history? You know, then what's he going to want to get paid? And if Torres ever gets his act together on a consistent level, you set a precedent that it's tough to go back when you start doing that.
By the way, Peter, Anthony Greek throwing a member of his staff under the bus. He said it's Cameron White. He's directing. He's the one who's called for the one shot.
He should be commended. That's great television.
I respect. Wow. I respect. It was like, do you remember the skit on SNL years ago when Julia Louis-Dreyfus would spit the water out every time someone would talk?
Right.
It was that. That was what happened.
Beautiful. It was a spit take.
Spit take. All right, we're going to give tickets away or VIP passes to the Beach Bash when we get back. Stay right here. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Let's go to Janice in Syracuse.
It's extremely obvious to me, I'm just making a comment, that Don is extremely jealous of the Yankees and how well they're doing. And I'm sure that every night when he watches or listens, that he's praying that they lose. I'm sorry, Don. I love you. I think you're great.
Give me an example.
And that's all I'm going to say.
No,
you can take it from there. Have a great day, all three of you.
No.
Wow.
Give me an example.
She just hung up, Don.
Gutless.
She's made a point.
What a gutless puke of a woman. Seriously. Just, yeah. You make this allegation, like, I care. You say this outlandish thing, and don't even cite an example. Just scurry away like a squirrel and hang up the phone. Wow. Gutless.
The Michael K. Show.
Andrew, do you know Janice from Syracuse? It's a very small town.
It's a city, and no, I don't know her. I've never met her.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what a show so far as we lead you into the weekend. That feels great.
That's how you do it, Michael.
Called somebody gutless. What was the other word you used?
Gutless puke of a woman.
A gutless puke of a woman.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
But Andrew corrected you.
Right.
Sternly, but in the nicest way possible. He's got tact. Andrew's got tact in spades.
Yeah. I've never been tactile. So the Yankees are 47-16. All right. Now, some might remember, we do because we took phone calls about it. They started off 7-6.
Right.
So you do the math. They're playing 800 ball in the last 50 games, so 40-10. So that dates back to April 21st when they had that loss in Detroit when Boone intentionally walked Cabrera with 2,999 hits. And everybody said, oh, the baseball gods are going to be angry. Well, they don't seem like they're that angry.
Maybe they have nothing to do with it. Maybe they're just a good team.
Could be. Seven-game winning streak, 14-1 in their last 15 games. It's just an amazing start. Everything you look at, I mean, at 47-16, check this out. They're tied for the fifth best 63-game start by any team, since 1914. So they're doing some historic stuff here, and I hope everybody's sitting back and enjoying it. Yesterday was their eighth walk-off win. That's the most in the majors. Tied for second place to Padres and the Orioles. They've had five. And the eight walk-off wins are also the most through 63 games since 1943 when they had nine. So what you're seeing in real time, everybody, is history.
Well, let me
ask you. Can they keep this up? I don't know, Don. I don't know, Peter. Well, I don't know if they could keep it up. I mean, it would be unprecedented if they keep it up.
So the answer is no, because history tells you that, no, to play at that pace would just be incredible. Now, there's a lot of bad baseball teams, so maybe this year more so than others, somebody might be able to take advantage of that, because you're seeing a lot of winning streaks, a lot of bad losing streaks. I mentioned, was it eight teams that are double digits under 500? So maybe that might have something to do with, you know, both the Mets and the Yankees having historically great seasons comparative to years that they've had in the past. But here's a question, Michael. I wonder how Yankee fans will feel about it, because winning a championship is special, but every year somebody wins a championship. Kind of like going for the perfect season in the NFL. How special would it be if they were the first team ever to win 120 games? First team ever to play over 800 baseball, win the World Series, be considered the greatest team ever. Have people, instead of saying the 27 Yankees, instead of saying the 98 Yankees, they would forever say the 22 Yankees. Would that be worth losing, Judge?
Oh, you mean if it was like a deal with the devil, you can have this, but you lose Judge? I don't know. I don't know. I can't automatically say yes.
Because one may have nothing to do with the other, but obviously, let's just say if it's a special season, he breaks Maris's record.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe he breaks Bond's record. And everything ends up being amazing. His MVP of the World Series, breaks the home run record. Yankees won 125 games. You know that that's going to mean somebody out there is going to blow the Yankees out of the water when he hits free agency. So it's not crazy to think that kind of a year could cost you Judge, because I really don't think, Michael, they're going to break the bank for him. Even if they have that kind of a special season, there'll be somebody that will outbid them. And I don't know if they will break what they believe he's worth.
So let me answer your question then.
Yeah.
If I was the god of baseball, and I had the choice of saying, okay, Judge's going to have a great year. Yankees are going to set all kind of records, have a season like no one's ever had, and they're going to win a title. But you have to lose Judge. Mm-hmm. I think I would take it. Titles are precious.
Right. And also, you don't know what's going to happen in the postseason, Michael. This team can tell you. It's a crapshoot, right? Anything can happen. The team that holds the record for the most wins didn't even make it to the World Series. That Seattle team didn't go to the World Series. Yankees beat them. Had 116 wins. You know, so that's the thing that's interesting. And obviously there's no deal with the devil, so it's all just hypothetical. But I just wonder, would you be willing to just challenge? Not because Michael, if everything that I said happened and they lost in the league championship series, this would not be a remembered season. This would not be something Yankee fans would celebrate.
Right.
It would just be another season in which they disappointed you in the postseason. I know this fan base. They don't seem to fall all over themselves for MVPs and Cy Youngs and records. They want to see the big chip at the end of the season.
But I don't blame them. If you have a great season like this and you don't win, what did it really mean? I think people in Seattle would tell you that too.
Well, Golden State.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle, Golden State, New England. I mean, the Patriots are still the only team to have a perfect regular season in a 16-game schedule. Like, they still did something historic, but no Patriot fan wants any part of it because they lost in the Super Bowl.
Well, let's see what you're thinking. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Very interesting concept presented there by Don. And by the way, here's how the Yankees ended yesterday's game.
The 2-1. High fly ball. Deep right center. There it goes. See ya. Ball game. Rizzo. And the Yankees are in seventh heaven. They've won their seventh in a row as they sweep the Rays right out of the Bronx.
Fifth walk-off home run in his career. Obviously, the other four with the Cubs. And he's one of these guys, Don. I mean, he's meant so much to this team, I think, in that room. And his power numbers are really good. 16 homers, 43 ribbies, but he's hitting just .223. And you know what? Everybody's thrilled. I don't think that average means that much anymore. And he also, the thing that I like about him and that to me makes him different than Joey Gallo, in big spots, like when he got that big hit earlier in the game to tie the game at one yesterday, he shortens his swing. Mm-hmm. He changes his approach in those moments. Joey doesn't change his approach ever. And that's, I think, why Rizzo is a much more valuable player. Also, doesn't strike out nearly as much as Gallo.
But he's been there and done that, too. That's got to help in that room.
Oh, I mean, he and Judge are, like, inseparable. It's amazing.
Well, the matching dog T-shirts was borderline disturbing.
First of all, it's not T-shirts. They're shirts, collared shirts.
Oh, polo shirts.
No, not even polo. They're like, I think they're made by our friends at the Roosevelts.
Oh.
That kind of shirt.
That's corny, man.
Why can't you let people just have fun?
No, do what you want to do. And why can't I be the guy that says it's corny? Like, they can do what they want to do, and I can do what I want to do.
You're allowed to, yes.
They're two really cool dudes.
That's but maybe cool. The fact that it's not cool makes it cooler.
But, you know, I'm going to talk directly to Peter. Peter, can you help me out?
Yeah, I'm here.
I have people that are my friend. Like, Dan Gross is a genuine friend. And he mocks me for just having a normal friend. And he sits there and defends two grown men wearing shirts with their, like, favorite dogs on it. And he defends it. Meanwhile, I just have a normal relationship with Dan Grasso, and he mocks it.
Here's the deal. Peter, can I give you my take here?
Okay.
I don't mock his relationship with Grasso. I mock his relationship with other people that shouldn't even be allowed near his house. That's what I mock. But the thing with Grasso is they're too close. That's all. I don't begrudge him it. They're a little too close for my own liking.
But are they that
who
close?
Who determines that?
They're really close.
Don, how often are you talking to Dan?
3-4 times a week.
Isn't that close? You don't talk to Natalie that much.
No, it's 3 or 4 times a week is on the phone?
Yeah.
That is best friend status. That's his best friend.
I've said that.
Yeah, it's his. That's just his best friend. That's
all right.
It's not weird.
You can judge it if you wish. It's a free country. I'm just saying, but he's got no problem with Rizzo and Judge, who've known each other for not even 2 years.
It's so true.
Wearing but, like the same shirts. Come on.
Yeah, but Michael's at any moment could be frolicking through a meadow, or in dancing through tulips, holding hands with Rick DiPietro, and he doesn't find that to be weird either.
Right.
But here's the deal. Rick DiPietro and I do not call each other. We might text each other. I mean, I think it's odd. Don's like 60 years old, and he's talking to another person other than Nancy 5 times a week. That's much. That's a little much.
I've never had a dream about Dan.
He said 3 or 4 times.
Now it's 5. I said 3 or 4. He called me. He called today to tell me how great the Paul McCartney concert was. He played for 3 hours. And Springsteen showed up, played a couple of songs. Bon Jovi delivered birthday balloons.
Wait. Springsteen showed up? Wow.
Yep. Yeah, he shut it down. Yeah, I mean, listen, Michael's standard for relationships is strange. Now, Michael, what's the most you speak to any person, not for work and not in your immediate family?
I don't really speak to people that much. I don't have time.
Don't have time.
The people I speak to.
That's the phony part.
No. The people I, well, you said not my family, so I speak to Jody the most.
Wow. All right. Say. Okay.
So there you go. I speak to Jody the most. Otherwise, I don't have free time. I'm speaking with Charlie and Callie. I'm working two full-time jobs. I don't have time to frolic talking to Dan Grosser.
Well, you wouldn't be expected to because you and Dan are not close, but...
But my own Dan Grosser. I don't have time for my own Dan Grosser.
We've all got our Dan Grosser, okay? We've all got our Guapo. And in the case of Don, his El Guapo is
Ballard.
Dan Grosser. But you don't have any time. How often do you talk to Mike Breen?
Once every 2 weeks.
And is he your closest friend?
Yes, I would say so.
Got it. You may just not be a people person.
I'm not. How many times do I have to say I don't like people?
So,
no, but Don's not weird. I don't care that you like people, don't like people, whatever. That's not my complaint. Mm-hmm. My complaint is you find problems with my relationships, but you sit there and defend two grown men wearing the same shirt. And then just out of nowhere, just express love for DiPietro, who if he didn't work at our radio station, you wouldn't give him the time of day.
I wouldn't know him if he didn't work at our radio station, but if he leaves the radio station now, or if I leave the radio station now, we'll be friends forever.
I think it's a complete, Peter, it's such a fugazi relationship. There's no relationship there. It's completely made.
People out there want to know what's real and what's for radio. Nothing that exists on this show is more for radio than the relationship between Michael Kay and Rick DiPietro.
That's a poo-poo take.
Yeah, everything else is real. That is the only fraudulent, phony, made up. I can't even come up. What's that famous radio bit where they like lie about the person getting caught cheating or whatever? It's like that. It's made up. They hire actors. It's that kind of deal.
You sound like you're really jealous.
War of the Roses.
I'm not that close with you.
Yes, War of the Roses. Thank you, Anthony. That bit, yes. Don. You know they do it in like every market. And it's a total work. That's Rick and Michael. You and Dan are real. That's a real friendship.
Well, how often do you talk to Ballard, Skippy?
We're not big phone friends.
Mm-hmm.
We text most days. I would say we text most days.
Him and I are not fart bros.
But we don't talk on the phone much more than once every few weeks. We probably get together more than we talk on the phone. We get together probably every 2 weeks, two or three weeks. To text every day. I don't know. Don, that sounds normal, right?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a – is there a cap on how often you're supposed to talk to somebody?
No, not at all.
And when you get old – like, isn't it a sad thought, Don, that having close friendships is something like of childhood, but once you reach adulthood – you can only talk to your family? That sounds like the recipe to go crazy.
Well, I'm really on the precipice. Jeff Passan just tweeted out that Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon will miss the rest of the season after undergoing surgery on his right wrist. That's a lot of money on the IL. He has 4 years and $154 million left on his deal. And they're in a little bit of a conundrum here. What do they do with Ohtani? I mean, Ohtani's going to want $50 to $60 million a year. He plays two positions, and he's great at both of them. So you've got Trout making what he makes, Rendon making what he makes, and if you give, let's say, Ohtani $50 million a year, you got $130 million tied up in three players.
And not win.
And not win, key. And yeah. Not win. Let's go to Arnie in Morristown. Arnie.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. You?
I'm all right.
Good.
I want to try to get a clarification. I'm not sure what you guys were saying about what would cause the Yanks to sign or not sign Judge. And let me lay out the premise. He hits 310, hits 55 homers, drives in 135, and for whatever reasons, the Yanks don't win the World Series. Do you think that there's that correlation that if the Yanks don't win a series, they don't sign Judge?
No.
Or,
No correlation at all.
Okay.
Well, I believe, Arnie, that they will come up on the offer that they gave him because he wants them to. Otherwise, if they make the same offer, there'll be another team that'll make a better one. So it's going to come down to does Aaron really want to stay here at any price? And I don't think that's the case. I think he really wants to stay here, but he also wants to get paid what he's worth. So I think that they will make him an offer, whether they win or not. If he has a great season, they love him. I mean, that's why they gave him the offer that they did. They love him. They know what he's worth to the team. But he's not worth more than they want to pay.
Right. And if he has an historic season, even if they don't win the World Series, that there is a team that's going to go out there and say, I don't care. I just want him. I'm going to give him 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where that won't happen, Michael, if he fell off, if he got hurt again, or if he didn't have as good a second half, then it's possible that the Yankees offer might be something he'd look back at. But if he has a monster season, Mike, there will be a team that will say, we can sell more tickets, we can sell more jerseys, we'll get higher television ratings. I don't care. We're going to give him 10 years. Listen, Seattle gave Cano 10 years.
Right. And they're still miserable about it. Let's go to Sam in Hudson Valley. Sammy.
What's up, Michael? How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad. Listen, man, I don't know what's going on with you. Maybe you're upset. You've been having a rough week. But, listen, I'm getting some attention. Thank you for the shout-out on the Barber and Cigar over on Twitter.
Oh, that's you, Sam. Okay. Oh,
hi, Sam.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, whatever you want a cigar, Donnie, let me know. Listen, I understand John may have taken a little long, but, Michael, you take like a minute to introduce Brandi Scott. Nobody cares to listen to that.
Everybody cares. It's one of the biggest bits we have going.
I do well.
Come on.
You're always getting on Peter. Here you are now getting on Don about things. You claim to not have friends. That's a lie. And the biggest thing this week, you narked Nestor Cortez during the live broadcast. And then the next day when his manager's on, oh, yeah, Booney, make sure you go down there and give him a piece of your mind.
I didn't say that. Sam, you're making stuff up. See, now you get hung up on. You get hung up on when you make stuff up.
See,
I asked Aaron, did you have a problem with what he said? I never said, I'll go down there and take care of that. I never said it. You're making it up, Sam. This is not a fiction show. So if you're going to make stuff up, you're going to go. You're going to go away.
I got Michael's back on that one.
By the way, Don, big news. I have big news for you.
What's that?
The Braves have finally lost 1-0 to the Cubs.
I was following. Like they weren't. They only had two hits, right?
Yeah. They ended up getting two hits. The Cubs got three, and they won 1-0.
That's when it turned. Now that this is where it turns around.
This is it, right? This is it. You feeling it?
I'm feeling it. Now the Mets all of a sudden could be back to 5.5 tonight if they take care of business.
Back to mailing.
If Cookie, which is the worst nickname in the history of sports, can get the job done tonight.
Why do you think that's? Let's get to that. Why do you think that's a bad nickname? It's a fun nickname. It's a happy nickname.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Cookies are sweet.
Why are we calling a man Cookie?
Exactly.
Cookies.
Oh, so you're in line now with Rothenberg. Okay, if that's...
Oh, I could share an opinion with him.
Well, that's not somebody you want to share an opinion
with. I think but I could share an opinion with
Carlos ain't making any cookies.
So the only cookie you respect is...
Cookies.
Magic Johnson's wife. It's the only cookie you recognize.
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that.
Interesting.
What about Cookie Monster?
Well, because it's his essence. It's who he is.
The essence of Cookie.
Would you be happy if your nickname was Cookie?
I wouldn't mind. You'd be red hot. I mean, if your nickname's DB, you don't want that. Nozzle, you don't want that. Cookie's a nice nickname.
Give me my little cookie.
That's Carrasco.
I don't like it. I think of Laura saying cookies. It sounds...
Oh, that's
cookies.
It's childish. It's
I love
cute.
Everything about Laura saying cookies.
Cookies.
Well, yeah.
It sounds happy. That's why I like it.
Yeah, but I don't...
Cookie?
I think it's the worst nickname in sports.
Wow.
I love the distinction between the two cookies.
Right.
You know? They're
it's
two different.
Distinctly different.
Yeah.
Cookies. Cookie?
See?
Wow.
That's Cookie Carrasco you're talking about, Laura.
Give me my little cookie.
By the way, this fine portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is live in New Jersey. Visit superbook.com for all the latest odds and promotions. Have a problem? Yeah, I do. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Peter, we haven't gotten it from you. Do you speak to anybody a lot other than Natalie?
Ballard.
What's on a cookie?
You can't say Dipperstein because he's your agent. You have to speak to him.
Yeah, but Dipperstein and I...
You pay him 10% to be your friend.
We speak as friends, though, a lot. A few days a week.
No, I'll play along.
Don, he asked the question, doesn't want the answer.
If you drop him as an agent, you'll never hear from him again. He's a rumor.
Well, I mean, he also now is a co-host on my podcast, so that would be tough. But, yes, I mean, if I fired him as my agent, that it would be a blow to the relationship. That's for sure. But that's like not, that's not fair. He's not like my therapist, where literally if I stopped paying him, the relationship would cease.
But it's not.
He's an actual friend. He just happens to work. So wait, hold on. According to your logic, Larry and Jeff on Curb, not friends.
I think that if Jeff was not Larry's manager, they would not be friends. Absolutely.
But they are friends.
Because they have this intermingled interest that they have to be friends.
Do you consider us friends?
Yeah, but if you know, if I had met you outside of the show, I don't know if I would have been your friend. I would have never really given you the time
I met you,
to
you
show,
even,
but I don't remember that.
Treated
it
me
was
like
a
garbage.
Blip on my radar screen.
Exactly. I was nothing. I was a bug on the windshield, Don. A bug on the windshield of the huge head that is Michael K. That's all I was.
Ah, good stuff. And that never gets old. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Don, here's the reason, thanks to our listener Mill Manor. Carrasco is known as Cookie because his teammate Chris Perez caught the pitcher eating cookies in the clubhouse back in 2011. Cookies and milk, to be exact.
Okay.
And then he became Cookie. So, I mean, just how fortunate it is that he wasn't eating calzone. He would have been calzone Carrasco.
I think Don would like it better.
Or Scungeel. He would have been Scungeel Carrasco.
Cookie?
Stromboli.
Again, octopus.
Escargot Carrasco.
Yeah, that would be good.
There had to be a reason, but I just don't like the nickname. Do you, Peter?
I don't. It's growing on me the more we talk about it.
Well, I don't care for it. Enjoy the pitcher. I enjoy his work.
And you're rooting for him tonight, but not
but unlike
calling him Cookie.
And just to be clear, unlike Cookie Monster, you don't believe his essence is Cookie.
No.
Right.
Have you seen Cookie Monster?
Sure. I mean, the man's always eating cookies.
Not devouring them.
Yeah.
As if it was like, you know, black tar heroin or something.
And it's pretty amazing considering he's a puppet and he doesn't even have a throat. So, like, they're just like crumbs flying up in the air.
He does not have a throat or a throat. Anyway, Peter, let's go through your night yesterday in Boston. So you were in a little tiny room. And did you eat before you went to TD Garden?
Did I eat before TD Garden?
Yes.
We had a little Chipotle salad for lunch.
Imagine if that's what Carrasco was eating. He'd be Chipotle Carrasco. Anyway.
A Chipotle salad Carrasco.
So you're there, and then you see the seats, your first reaction.
Oh, man.
Heaven.
Okay, so real quick. When we first got the seats, if you want to really go inside, I looked it up. I told you guys where they were.
Lift it up and show it to me.
I looked at where the view was online, and they looked pretty good, like pretty to really good.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they weren't, like, on the floor, so I wasn't quite sure how it would feel. When we actually were walking down towards them, and, like, I was feeling out the angle and the closeness, my heart was – I was felling. It's
goosebumps.
They were amazing seats.
Is there a cooler feeling than, like, at a concert or a ball game where, like, there's an usher and they're taking you to the seat and you keep getting closer and closer and he's not stopping?
Yeah, it's the best. It's
and you're like, oh, wow. Like, you just didn't know where the seats were. You had a general idea, but then you keep walking.
Well, sometimes the best one is, Don, sometimes it'll be like a double letter and you're like, is the double letter closer or further away? You're like, is AA
oh, it's a good question.
The front row or is it like the 27th row? And when you keep going, you're like, oh, my God. This is the real deal. So the seats were basically I was sitting on the – I was sitting to the – like 6 feet to the left of the basket, two rows up off the floor essentially, maybe three rows up off the floor, two rows up off the floor. And I was able, because I was sitting on the aisle, to stand up whenever I wanted to. So, like, if you look on Natalie's story at Miss Hatton on Instagram, you'll see me, like, standing up and screaming and pacing. It was just an amazing situation. And I've never been in the building. I went to one Nationals World Series game. You guys know the Nationals are not, like, my heart and soul.
Right.
I went to Toronto Golden State a few years ago, the same trip where Don threatened to what did he threaten to do to me, Michael?
I don't remember.
Smack your face dead.
Oh, yeah. To smack my face dead. It was that trip.
I'd like to know this.
Go ahead.
At what point in the game did you say they're not winning?
Really good question. You're a really good broadcaster. Bad guy, great broadcast. You should do
that's usually little. That's usually goes together.
Yeah,
you should have a show where you interview people
and put them right on the center of the stage.
That's right, and they should air it 22 hours a day. So I would say so. Obviously, the beginning of the game, the first 5 minutes was amazing. I actually feel Natalie. I don't know if you remember this. I looked at you and said, I was like, they're winning tonight.
Are you talking to Natalie now?
Yeah, she's sitting over here. I looked at her and was like, they're winning tonight. I know. I literally shook my head like, they're winning. This is. I know. Don, you could feel the energy in the first 5 minutes. I was like, they showed up. It's game seven. I know what's happening. I would say, to be totally honest with you, when – this isn't that profound. When Golden State went on a 21-0 run, yeah, I felt like this isn't happening anymore. And – now, from after that, there were, you guys tell me because you were watching at home. There was a spot when they cut it to 9 in the second half. I started to believe again. Watching it on TV, did it feel like they could ever strike or no?
I did not watch on TV because I was doing the Yankee game.
On TV. I didn't. It kept me engaged, but I never really thought that it was going to amount to anything. You felt something was going on, but I didn't sense, Peter, that it was going to get any
closer. And it could not have been that big of a game for the Celtics organization. The biggest former Celtic they could pull out is Robert Parrish. No Bill Russell, no Larry Legend. What are we doing here? No, Bob Cousy?
I mean, Larry Legend never shows up.
If you gave him some money, he'd show up. That's how this works.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to do that.
No, but that's how it works, Don.
Let's see. I have the list here. First of all, a list of celebrities and VIPs came out. And Peter Rosenberg and Miss Hatton, nowhere to be found. Sad, because we're better than a lot of people on here. Now, from Celtics legends, here's who they had listed. Ray Allen, pretty good.
Big.
Especially he recently made up with everyone. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Robert Parrish.
Big. The Chief.
The great Dana Barros. Andrew, that touches you, doesn't it?
BC
literally
Clark.
One of my all-time favorite players.
I'm
serious.
I know, that's why I asked you. I remember things.
Wait, why is Dana? We have to stop the show.
You remember this?
Dana Barros, your favorite, one of your all-time favorite players.
He was a Sixer when we first got season tickets, and they were awful in the years leading up. And they got him, and he was great. The team was bad, but he was amazing. I was probably about 9 years old, and he just. Probably my first ever favorite player, and it just stuck with me forever.
Beautiful.
Loved him.
Who else, Peter?
Kenny Anderson.
Oh, he's known for his Celtic ties.
Yeah, he was there for 38 seconds, but I was a big fan when we had him. Kevin Stacombe, I don't even know who that is. ML Carr.
So they really had nobody.
Eddie House, Brian Scalabrine, Perk, and Glenn Davis. Though, by the way, the worst part of the night was when they put Parrish on the screen, and then they put Scalabrine on the screen, and because you're in Boston, and it is still Boston, Scalabrine got almost the applause of Parrish.
But, see, that's not fair, Peter.
He's a Scalabrine
is on
jabroni.
TV there.
I know, but by the way, he shouldn't be on TV.
But you realize that when you're on TV, right?
On TV.
Like, if Whitey Ford was still alive. Mm-hmm. David Cone would get a similar hand to Whitey Ford.
Yeah,
TV, you're in their living room every single day.
I know, but I don't even want him on TV every single. The reason he was even given the job on TV is what bothers me.
You have no idea why he's given the job. That's outrageous.
Hold on. I'm not saying that was the hiring practice of Nesson or whoever hired him. I'm saying the reason he's popular in Boston is because he's white.
That's the only reason they like Scalabrine. He sucks. He was not a valuable part of that team. He was a nothing, a nobody. He was not relevant. When you look at that Celtics team, it was a special team. He's dead last. It just annoys me to hear
that. Okay, why was Tommy Heinsohn popular?
Because he's
a great player.
Exactly. They didn't show Tommy Heinsohn on the screen. That would be very difficult. If they did, I would have cheered uproariously. Is that the right word? That's more laughing. But anyways, to hear Scalabrine get close to the applause of Chief, it just bothered me. But anyways, to the list of Patriots that were there, Devin McCourty, Robert Kraft got a big ovation. Dave Matthews was in the house.
Nice.
Gucci Mane. Michael, you're a fan, we know.
Yeah.
G-Eazy. Albert Pujols, Rory McIlroy, who trotted over from Brookline about 20 minutes away.
And all the Red Sox were there, right?
I
think the entire Red Sox
team. Wow. It says all – what's listed is it just says Red Sox players and Alex Cora.
Yeah.
So – but I don't know why Bird – he just doesn't ever show up, man. Once he left, he left.
He's like,
no, we like to make everything romantic. But the big stars that show up at arenas or ballparks, they get paid. It's just the way it is.
Not all.
So maybe they don't want to give most.
Well, it depends. Like it depends on.
You don't think Mike Piazza gets paid to come to Citi Field?
Where does he live now?
Italy.
Well, then that's your answer.
Piazza lives in Italy.
Yeah, I think he that's his residence. Yeah.
That's the answer. Now, if you're
a former, great player, you still live in that city. I don't know if you got to pay him, but if that you're going to fly him across the country, you might have to pay him to come by. Michael, you're probably right most of the time, but there are probably times that players just appreciate their former team being in it and want to go.
Do you know? I mean, this will resonate with you, Marty Brodeur, right?
Sure.
If he says hello to anybody involved with the Devils, it's a grand. He has to get $1,000 just to say hi.
Well, he's working for them now. So
wait, is that true?
I made that up, by the way.
I know you made it up because he's working for them now. So.
Wait, so any time you're saying, Michael, most of the time when they bring in a former athlete just to be there, they offer him some cash.
There is some remuneration. Not for Old-Timers Day or stuff like that, like the Mets are doing their Old-Timers Day. The Yankees have long had their Old-Timers Day. I mean, they're put up and everything, but, I mean, if you're coming to throw out a first pitch or something like that, they're probably greasing you.
It's sad. Well, it's no matter who they got.
Like, who's there for first pitch? Well, I got to go to the Met game tonight. Mike Piazza's throwing out the first pitch.
So you're saying they're wasting money. That's what you're saying, Don.
That's exactly what he's saying, and he's not wrong.
For first pitches, yes.
No, Don, if you're going to spend the money, if the Celtics had said, we're going to spend $25,000 to get Larry Bird in the house. That's worthwhile money in a Game 6 playoff game.
But here's what it would cost.
Because the crowd would care.
Peter?
Yeah.
They would have had to start at least six figures to get Larry there.
But Larry's like Jeter. Right?
He's like who?
He's like Derek Jeter.
Right.
He's a great Celtic, but he moved on to other things, coaching, general manager.
But he's not, I mean, he's still a Celtic. Like, Derek Jeter was still a Yankee when he was running the Marlins.
No, but I don't think Derek has any appetite to go back to the stadium, and neither does Larry. That's what I mean. Like, that time is done.
I bet you Derek's back at the stadium this year.
If they pay him.
I think he will be.
But I don't mean that in a negative. I just think that there are some athletes like, right, that was my time in my life, and now I've moved on to other things. That was then. This is now. I'm no longer a part of that now. I don't feel
any kind
of.
Well, they're not asking Jeter to play shortstop, Don. I mean, he'd come out in a suit and wave like DiMaggio used
to. But I do think there are some professional athletes that don't want to be known as that that they're only known for what they did. Like Derek Jeter, I think, wants to be an executive. I think he's moved on from that time in his life. And when he goes back to the stadium, he's remembered of what he was, the shortstop of the Yankees. I think he's moved on from that now. Larry Bird's moved on from being a Celtic to doing other things with the NBA. That's what I mean. So, and there's some that are, like, perfectly happy because that's all they care about is what they were. So they're anxious to go back. Then there's some that, all right, that was then. Now we're a different stage of my life now.
Let's take a brief time out. We're going to give away VIP access to the Beach Bash. Also, I will reveal to our listening audience something that I have only revealed to Peter Rosenberg. And I will tell you this. I thought it would be impressive to Peter, and it was. You remember what I'm talking about, Peter?
How long did you tell me this?
We were texting yesterday. Right after the show. I guess it didn't resonate with
you. I was dealing with something yesterday.
You answered me back. You said, I'll help you out with information.
Oh, that. Yes. Sorry.
Goodness gracious. Now I know you all want to find out what this is about. That's coming up next right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Here's the news that maybe some might find interesting. So we haven't had a K-Rod in a while, and we'll have one at the end of this month and then one in the beginning of July as well. And we just booked a big-time guest for the Cardinals game that we're doing because he's a big-time Cardinal fan. I don't know why, but we'll find out. And we booked Nelly to be on the K-Rod cast. And Peter was impressed.
I think it's a good get. I like Nelly. Now, tell me right now what you have to ask Nelly.
Nothing yet. I haven't done the homework.
So far, nothing?
Nothing. And you said you would hold my hand through it.
Well, I'll give you a couple of gems. You definitely want to Google his relationship with Michael Jordan.
Good or bad?
No, good.
Really?
Ownership stake in the Bobcats. What are they now? Hornets.
Wow.
So he's in the sports game. He was such a massive star at the time. He crossed over into country, did a record with Florida Georgia Line. Is that what they're called?
Yep.
Yeah, Florida Georgia Line. He's had a really interesting career. He's also a sex symbol. I mean, like his abs are like a thing. He's an interesting, charismatic, really, and I think, frankly, underrated guy.
All right. I look forward to it. Now, I also, during the break, I checked with an important person in the media in Boston. And I just simply asked, I said, is there a problem with Bird and the Celtics, why he wouldn't show up for a game like last night? He said, it's a great question. I don't know if there's a problem that I know of. I know he wanted to work for the team years back and felt like they didn't listen. But he has always been an Indiana guy first.
Yeah, it sucks.
French Lick.
I mean, listen, he's the hick from French Lick, right?
Now, we had a guy on hold for a long time, and we never got a chance to get to him, so I want to give the answer. He said, why did Manny Banuelos the other day get a save? Well, one of the save rules is if you pitch the final three innings of a game, no matter what the lead is, you will get a save. Otherwise, you have to come in with the tying run on deck at any time, and you have to get the final out. But in terms of getting a save, Banuelos pitched the final three innings, so that's why he got a save in that game. That's the rule. Let's go to Anthony in Union Beach. Anthony.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you, Ant?
I'm doing good. Mike, I just wanted to say we went to the game last night. I had a great time. My kids loved it. My 8-year-old son, he thinks the world of you. He thinks you're the greatest announcer ever. And last night when we were watching the game, he gave us the there go see you call for you. But we wish they could pump you into the stadium on those home run calls. It was just awesome.
It must have been a fun night. And tell your son thank you very much. That means a lot to me. It really does. Yeah, it was a fun night at the stadium. By the way, Aaron Boone has said that Luis Severino, who just came off the COVID IL list, will start Sunday, and Cole's going to go Monday against the Rays. So that's the latest news there. Let's go to Rick in Rutherford. Rick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Hey there.
Good. Hey, Mike, just a quick thing. Not that under the radar, but it's quite something when you have a legit lefty bat with Anthony Rizzo being in the lineup there. It kind of makes things a lot better and helps Stan and Judge. Is there stats that show that their team batting average is a lot higher when Anthony Rizzo is in the lineup as opposed to when he's not?
No, I mean, what you could see, like, from a game like last night, you know, with the rule that you have to face three batters if you come out of the bullpen, you bring in a right-hander to face Judge, well, then he's got to face Rizzo. So Rizzo got the hit to tie the game. That's your proof right there. You know, it has nothing to do with team batting. The Yankees don't even have that high of a team batting average. They just they score runs. Like what Aaron Boone always says, it's not a hitting contest. It's a scoring contest. And they hit a lot of home runs. They have 101 home runs. And they have a big disparity. They don't give up many home runs. That's a good recipe to win. But I think that was one of the, you know, we talked about, we glowingly spoke about Cashman yesterday. He realized his mistake. You know, eight right-handed hitters in a lineup doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It makes it too easy for the other team. You have to set traps. Rizzo's the trap between Judge and Stanton. Now, you hope that Gallo would be more of a trap, but he hasn't been. But they did correct that. And with Hicks being healthy this year, at least he's a switch hitter, and you know there's going to be at least three lefties in the lineup. And when you use Marwin Gonzalez, it's going to be four because he's a switch hitter as well. So the Yankees are much more balanced this year, much better defense, much better base running, and that's why they're playing as well as they have. When we come back, the man who was in Boston yesterday, the man who didn't stay for the trophy ceremony, the man who had Chipotle before the game, the man who got a free NBA Finals hat,
that's right.
As did his girlfriend, Natalie.
That's right.
ENN coming up with that man.
Yeah.
That man right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.